Hello, Screeters. I read once that depression is an addiction. How horrible is that? That you become so ensconced or used to a particular feeling that when you're not feeling it, you feel like you need to in some way. So even when you're feeling good, depression lurks just under the surface or the facade that you wear in your everyday life. For me, going to from business to business or from home to home, meeting strangers, creating a rapport with them, and then trying to sell them a $2,000 to a $20,000 product in one sitting. When you mention it or when I say it like that, it sounds unfeasible, but it happens every day. Well, not every day these days for me, but every day for somebody in the company or companies like it. When we truly ponder things and think about what they are or what they mean or what we just said, I'm often fascinated that any of it's plausible in any way whatsoever. Beyond that, today is Friday, May 19th, 2023. I am Jason Hobbs, and this is Random Screed. Hey, Jason, the other Jason, just listened to the very beginning of your podcast, and I paused it. You're talking about May Day, and it's the things you said, but it also predates all that. In the Celtic calendar, back in the old days, way old days, it was Beltane. And it was one of the big, you know, holidays of the year. It's when the herders were moving their flocks and their herds and all that kind of thing. It was a big deal. And they had sacrifices and did big, you know, wicker men and lots of bonfires, stuff like that. The church, Christian church didn't like that. And they came up with Walpurgis. And there's another longer name of that. But basically, Witches' Night. And that's the day, that's May Day Eve. And so Beltane's May Eve. And then Walpurgis Night, whatever, is May Eve. And that's when you're supposed to go burn witches. Or if you're, you know, Wiccan or, you know, one of the pagan things, then you'll do Beltane and you'll do prior to that. But Walpurgistine or something like that. Anyway, I'm getting the name wrong. Walpurgis is right. Beltane's right. But so they're kind of coming back. It's kind of like the alternate Halloween, actually. And it's still celebrated a little bit in Europe. And there are some groups trying to bring it back in the U.S. as like a second Halloween. But it predates way back. And it was like a, you know, one of the big four holidays on like the Celtic calendar. So there's a little bit you may not know. Hey, Jason, I'm back again. So domain game, does the domain game have to be spreadsheets? That's a great question. I would say no, it definitely does not have to be spreadsheets, but you're going to want to have, like you were thinking about, some kind of system set up. So I think it could be a little more hand wavy, it could be more random rolls and more generic, but I think thought has to be put into it ahead of time, and that system's going to have to be worked out. I'm sure there are games out there that do this. I can't imagine there aren't kind of lightweight domain games out there somewhere, probably in the indie gaming sphere. And I don't say that in a bad way, just I don't know how else to say it, you know. But I don't know of them off the top of my head. It's something I'll research, because I agree with you. The spreadsheets can get a little overwhelming, but the idea of rolling to see, oh, well, we've got this problem with resources, or, oh, they're, you know, peasants are unhappy because of this, or, oh, you know, whatever it is, whatever problem you're dealing with. And then you could also have tables, maybe hex flowers, like Goblin Henchman's hex flowers, where depending how well you handle your domain and how, you know, how your wealth is doing, how prosperous your worlds are, you know, there's less likely to be bad things happening. So you need to have random tables that are weighed towards your situation. If you're in a precarious position, then bad things are going to happen more often, right? So you need to set that up. So I think some serious thought has to be put into building of the game. But I think once the game is built, you could definitely run a kind of lighter weight domain game as far as the spreadsheet piece goes. That's a really interesting question. Maybe somebody else knows a game that already does that. So I look forward to other answers.
All right. As with many other podcasts in our sphere of influence, there's Jason Connerly from Nerds RPG Variety Cast weighing in on a couple topics. As far as Beltane and Purgis go, are those really Maydays or are those Mayday Eve, I guess? I don't really know. Something to look at. I do like tinging my campaigns or my sessions with real life flavor of holidays. I once ran a fairly epic axe game on St. Patrick's Day where some ritualists summoned a bunch of snakes and they were all over the town and the players had to deal with it. Pretty interesting. Pretty cool stuff. I don't remember how it all happened, but I do remember we had a good time. As far as that goes, I'm really interested in maybe doing a Russ Nicholson appreciation game of some sort. Maybe where I take a bunch of images and either come up with, you know, little scenes or use those monster images for inspiration for creatures and then just write them up in whatever game it happens to be in. If anyone's interested in that, call me. Let me know. Or if you have more information on these alleged holidays that Mr. Connerly is mentioning, love to hear from y'all. Thanks for calling in, Jason.
As far as We Deal in Lead goes, so I wasn't complaining, and now I realize my comment to you should have been worded much better, because we've also discussed this a little bit on Discord, but I wasn't complaining. I enjoyed the game. I agree with you. I thought it was near perfect. I thought both our characters getting killed there at the very end worked very well. I thought it was thematic. I thought it was appropriate. I have zero complaints about that game. I had a lot of fun. I would definitely play again. And I wasn't complaining. And the system, I need to play the system more to see how I really feel about the system. But so far, I don't dislike it. But I feel there were a lot of mechanics that we never touched. So I don't feel I got a good feel for the game. Does that make sense? I know I said feel a lot there. But that was kind of my point, was that we played the game, but I don't feel like I got a good grasp of everything in the game, you know? Or really, I wonder if we only superficially touched the basic combat stuff in the game, you know what I mean? So I think there's a lot of meat in the game that we never touched, so I don't feel I have a good grasp of the game yet. So that wasn't necessarily a complaint. It left me wanting more, but that was my point. It wasn't dissatisfaction with the session. It wasn't a complaint about the way how you ran it or that you left things out, because like you say, in a 2.5-hour session, character creation and all, you're not going to get everything done, and that's okay. That's 100% okay. But it's kind of like DCC. If you want to learn about Dungeon Crawl Classics and the only thing you ever play is a funnel, then you're never going to learn about Dungeon Crawl Classics because you're never going to engage with the bits for the character classes, you know? And again, it's not a complaint. So, yeah, all I meant was that I felt there was a lot more meat that we didn't get to experience, and it left me wanting for more out of curiosity. But I had a lot of fun in the session, and I agree with you. I think it was about perfect. It ended right. And the cool thing is, since Arlen's character survived, then Che and I can make new characters, potentially, and come back, or other people can make new characters and move on to the next session, or the next part of the story. So, no, I really enjoyed it. I thought you did a great job with it, and hopefully that clears it up a little bit. It wasn't a complaint as much as an observation, right? I don't know. Did that make any sense?
Hey, Jason, it's Che. Hobbs, it's great to be listening to Random Screed again. And thanks for the recap about the Wheeling Lead game. It's Che from Roleplay Rescue, by the way. And first of all, commiserations regarding like your relative who's in late-stage dementia. I'm really sorry to hear that, and I hope that you're okay. I wanted to thank you for the game we did on that. I really enjoyed myself on that night. It was great. It's really interesting hearing Jason, however, making, so the allegation, Jason Connolly, making the comment that it wasn't enough referencing and use of the rules, because I felt, if anything, if I'm honest, I was really enjoying the game, but there were moments where it was jarring for me and I was drawn out of the world of the game and out of my role as character, because we were referencing rules quite a lot, actually, a lot more than I expected for a game that's based on, like, Into the Odd. It's often sold to me on the grounds that this is really rules light, really easy to run, you know, really very straightforward. And actually, I think we spent longer, I think we spent like 40, 45 minutes making characters, which, you know, for a bunch of random dice rolls seemed a long while. There was a lot of discussion around, I suppose, but that was like three times longer than it takes me to make GURPS character for my game. Nothing wrong with that. I was enjoying that. That was fine. And then we played for a couple of hours, 2 hours, 2.5 hours, something like that. Really enjoyed the game, really loved it. There were moments, however, where like we stopped to look something up, and I found that just jarring, to be honest. So it was sort of marring my experience. So for me, you know, the truth is I'm coming to realise that I'd like to be in role in my character. I'd like to be in the world and get myself immersed in the world, in the other world, as I call it. And then I'm not really bothered about the rules. I'm kind of hoping my GM is going to tell me if I need to roll dice sometime. I don't mind rolling dice and all that sort of stuff. But I really don't want to have to worry about learning a new game, especially for a one-shot. It's like a lot of work for me to go read a rule book and learn the rules and kind of come to the table with all that knowledge. And I really feel like the older I get, the more I don't want my players to have to do that. And so for me, that was kind of, so one of the big draws to your game, you're willing to run a game at short notice, drop of a hat. Thank you so much for doing that. And you're going to run a game, it's really light. So I was thinking, well, this will be easy to pick up. It won't be a problem. It will just, you know, the rules aren't really going to be an issue. It's going to be 1d20 roll low on everything. And there's not even a hit roll, except there is a hit roll because we're gunslingers. But anyway, that was my view. That was my perspective. It wasn't a bad thing at all. I really enjoyed the game. I truly did. If I could do it all over again, if I could recommend finding ways of like keeping the rules to the minimum and the referencing to the minimum, I would really appreciate that. But in truth, there was nothing at all wrong with that game. It was awesome. So that's my perspective. I hope that makes some sense. I'll catch you later, brother. Game on.
If he is up or down, his podcast still comes round. Hobbs is in his van. Don't turn off that sat nav, man. Random screed, don't know what you get, but it's what you need.
All right, screeders, full disclosure, it's 6 days later. I don't even know what happened in those 6 days since I did the introduction. Nothing massive, apparently. But I really found those last two calls from Jason Connerly of Nerds RPG Varietycast and Che Webster from Roleplay Rescue really, really interesting, because they highlight like a lot of different things just from that 5 minutes of...
In 2 miles, take the Illinois 173, I-90 West exit.
Conversation from those two, specifically... Players want different things out of a game. Not all comments are, or critiques are, complaints. You know, those are some things that can really affect people. You need to be, especially as a GM, able to take what people say for its face value, and then decide, not even as a GM, just as a human being, I suppose, decide how that fits into your own paradigm or your own methodology or your own ethics or morals, and move forward and use it for what it is. And I found that both of these guys were really articulate and did a pretty good job, regardless of the number of times they said feelings, at getting the point across that they wanted to. Now, Jason Connerly, at first I couldn't figure out what mechanics he wanted to interact with that we didn't. I know Jason has the book. I now am a proud owner of the book.
In half a mile, take the Illinois 173, I-90 West exit.
And I'm really excited about that, because it'll allow me to maybe engage with a lot of the other aspects in the book. I mean, in truth, I only did probably engage with 10%, maybe 25%, because we did the character creation.
Take the Illinois 173 exit.
With Che mentioning that it took 45 minutes. I would counter that if you did it by yourself.
In a quarter mile, keep right at the fork. Follow signs for State Route 173 East.
This lady really wants to talk right now. Sorry about that, people. But if you did
keep
it by
right
yourself,
at the fork.
It wouldn't take you more than 5 minutes to make all those random rolls and jot them down on your character sheet, especially if you were as familiar with the system and the character sheet as you are.
Continue on Illinois 173 East for 19 miles.
With your beloved GURPS. I think it took that long because there are three of us. We made it together. And in many ways, I was likely stalling as I was trying to figure out what I was even going to run, as it was a pickup game and I didn't really know any time before that that we were actually going to play that. And I've only ran it twice. Never played it. I have played Runecairn, and I ran Runecairn one other time. But other than that, I have no familiarity with the End of the Odd, nor the Cairn, nor Knave in any way. So I don't think it would be that hard to run the game without referencing rules, hardly at ever. Only maybe to check a table if you hadn't memorized, you know, the 2d6 or something like that. Because there really aren't that many rules to engage with normally in play. Now, if you start to talk about the orders or the fellowships and breaking those and the different things that you might be able to do to increase, you know, your favored weapon, which really isn't just a regular gun. There's something very, very special about that weapon. It's a legacy item in the setting. So, I mean, that covers quite a few of the aspects, but I did want to delve a little deeper into what Che is talking about. It really reminds me of the levels of play discussion that I probably used to have on Random Screed quite a bit. Let's get a bumper. Back in the early days of me listening to podcasts, probably even before I started podcasting, there was a show, and maybe they are still a show, I don't know, called Misdirected Mark. And Misdirected Mark at one time wanted to create a lexicon that covered tabletop role-playing games. I've mentioned this, you know, many times in the past with saying, you know, we're often using movie terms, or we're using book terms, or we're using comic book phrasing or parsing. And this lexicon was supposed to kind of make terminology or jargon for tabletop role-playing games specifically. And that's a fantastic idea, and I don't know if they ever did it. I stopped listening when I was no longer a member of the Misdirected Mark Network. But they also, during this lexicon, talked about levels of play, which can maybe call tiers of play, but I think these days tiers of play normally means what level your characters are and what that means for whatever game it is that you're playing. But when we talk about levels of play, this is the engagement of the player and the different levels of what a system may ask for or require. So what I mean is, level one is kind of the default. You're always just in character. You don't really have to think about or do anything else. Yes, that may require you to reference your character sheet or make some rolls, but you're always in the first person, in the character, and that's it. Level two is maybe something else. Maybe there is using a meta currency outside of the character. It's kind of a 1.5 probably, but maybe also, you know, you have some other thing that you're referencing, like the order itself, almost another 1.5 in We Deal in Lead. But in another game, when you're moving away from many trad systems in this situation, maybe you're, you know, referencing domain play. So you're not necessarily only first person. Now you're also seeing what's happened to your kingdom in the domain turn. So that's like another level of play. So it's still mostly just associated with your character, but it's not really you just playing your character anymore. Now you're referencing domain play, or downtime would be something similar. It's not, you know, one for one time that you're interacting with the game world through and only through the eyes of your character. You're also doing something else. Another layer above that might be you're also, you know, playing or making decisions for something else that affects play. I'm not that great at these because mostly I just play trad games myself, and there's not a whole ton of domain play or play that is referenced. But like, you may be affecting the setting, what's happening. So in low fantasy gaming, sometimes I'll let people make a luck roll to see if something's there. So now you're actually molding the environment through, like, if you're spending a Benny in a Savage Worlds game or a Fate game or some other game where you can actually say, hey, does there happen to be a fire truck nearby? Can we hear a siren? Or does this have a shovel? Does this locker have a shovel in it? Now you're actually not only, maybe you don't even have to ask the question, you actually can spend something and say, this has a shovel in it. So you're stepping outside of your character, the first person even related to the character via domain. Now you're affecting what the world is. And this is a whole different level of play. So you're up on level 3, and then, you know, it can maybe even go higher. I'd have to re-listen to the episode, and I recommend it a lot. If you can handle the dudes, then you'll really like what it is they're talking about. So levels of play is what I think Che is referencing. He doesn't want any. He wants total immersion. And some people, when you talk about immersion, they don't feel like going into those other levels of play is immersive. So like in a Kingmaker game, when, you know, you're messing around with, hey, what did these points give us? Even like maybe when you shift into mass combat in your game, even in a trad game, that's a different tier of play that adds another level of play. So some kind of interesting things there for you to call in and talk about if you so desire. Some updates on We Deal in Lead here, just in this little bit here. I do have a physical book now. Getting a physical book isn't necessarily as easy as it could be. They're sold out at Exalted Funeral. So I don't think you can get them anywhere in the States. You're going to have to get them either from Colin LeSueur himself or some other place that has one. That's what I did, and had them ship it. And they shipped it. They actually shrink-wrapped the book. So I was pretty excited about that. I've barely cracked it. But I have talked with Colin LeSueur, and he just might be the next Hobbs & Friends guest on the newest Hobbs & Friends episode, whenever that seems to be happening. All right, so I think I'll come up with one other thing to talk about, and then we'll wrap it up. It's true. I actually ran a game last week now. I think it was the second session of one of my Midlands vignettes, which is basically pick up low fantasy gaming set in Northgate nominally with whoever can play at the time. So we got Elliot and Nolibert back together. And saw what their characters, Vignel and Dirk, were up to in all the way back in episode number 2 of Midlands Vignettes. This was 8th or 9th that we ran 10 months ago. They were exploring Alatar's Tower. And we had a lot of fun with that. I think originally that session was inspired by Daniel Norton at Bandit's Keep. He did an episode on a gibbering mouther. I screwed it all up, and I kind of wussed out on it and didn't do it the way that he suggested with the massive gibbering mouther, which was likely undefeatable by the group. Would move throughout the different areas of the tower randomly, and if the characters had to get something out of the tower and flee, and then flee the gibbering mouther. But it was inspired by it, but it was a poor representation. My apologies, Daniel. I don't really think you listen to Random Screed, but if you do, my apologies, brother. I just wanted to do a little more talking, self-promotion concerning North Texas RPG Con 2023. Looks like the whole thing is a go. We have our own room. It's Mesquite. It's across from the library. It's between the lobby and the area where the con is mostly taking place. It is the... It's going to be a massive, awesome, superb center of attention. We'll have two tables in there. We'll have multiple products from Castellan Publishing, Wizard Funk, Mystic Bull, and Hobbs & Friends. So come in, check it out, play some games. I don't know if we're going to print off. Maybe we'll try to have like someone keeping track of like when games are and all that happening officially in the gamerhood room, but just give me a call, send me a DM on Discord or whatever, however we interact with each other, and if we don't find somebody, they'll know. Stop and talk, ask Levi Combs in the Planet X games, or my buddy J.E. Shields will have a booth in the main area there, so ask him. There's tons of people who are going to know exactly where we are, so don't hesitate to ask. Yeah, so I plan on trying to do some interviews and a lot of interaction on all sorts of social medias. Maybe I'll show up on 10 Cars and Battelotto's Bad Mike show or whatever they're doing. I'm going to try and be involved in a lot of it. I didn't have a ton of time last year, and hopefully I don't have a ton of time this year, but we're going to make time. I'm looking forward to some Planescape and some Weird Frontiers, maybe some Greg Gillespie Gaming. I don't know. Whoever's going to be there. Whatever it is and however we decide to tap into it. I'm super excited to visit with all my hombres in the posse and the gamerhood neighbor. The gamers of the gamerhood. All you people out there looking forward to it. Screeders and Hobbs Goblins alike. So, anyway, there's that. Hope you enjoyed. I'll talk to you soon. Hey, stay alive. It's better to burn out than to fade away.
Your father is a merchant. The depths are full of cheer.